see you coming back in here with duckie jumpsies. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained jumpsies.
Look at anybody going sitting up a pint with those boys after that.
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.
Okay, let me just quickly check around the office now. Wins. Mick, you're from Clare, so that's a win. Galway, day one, check. PG outside there is from Kerry, day one as well, check. We've a big crew from Meads. Meads won, I was actually at that game, right, day one, check. Mark.
Mayo. Mayo won, D's from Mayo.
Oh, yeah, Mayo as well, yeah.
Good.
Who were they playing?
Cavan, I think, was it? There's no one from Cavan, though, is there?
Lads, why is this? Why does every podcast start with this nonsense of just abuse Cavan?
Do you know what happened to me after the last podcast? Somebody got in touch with me and like, why do you not like Cavan?
Love and Cavan.
I it's nothing to do with Cavan. It's Mark. It could be Leitrim or Sligo, but
also because Mark brings Cavan into everything, it forces us to pay more attention than we normally would.
Yeah, that's very
true.
Yeah, you project that as part of you.
So I didn't open my mouth. I was sitting here in silence and you just brought up Cavan the same way you did last week.
Hello and you're welcome to the Boz.EGA podcast. We're here across all good podcasting platforms every week bringing you the best in GA coverage and interviews. My name is Morris Brosnan and today we've got a cracking show ahead. Our own PJ Brown caught up with Clare hurler Peter Duggan. We will finally name this podcast and we'll preview the weekend's games. I'm joined by Mick McCarthy, back again for after a strong showing last week.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I got kept my place. I don't know. Let's see if I can continue on that. Like, it might have been beginner's luck.
It's just the league, yeah. Don't get ahead of yourself.
I like the way that I've given out about us talking about too much Cavan and stuff like that. And then straight away, our guest today is a Clare hurler. I'm just trying to put that, keep it under the radar.
And Mark Farley, how are you?
I'm good. I am really looking forward to winning the GAA goodie bag because, lads, I have a name for the show.
It's about time, too.
Give that man the $5,000, whatever it was. How much did he win football in the grind in The Simpsons? $3,000 or $5,000?
I don't remember, but it was the award that mattered to Mr. Burns, I know, true. Anyway, yeah.
But, yeah, I have a name. I'm really excited about it.
You've teed it up during the week, but you wouldn't tell us until this moment, no. So...
I'm not going to tell it yet.
We're
going to
go
get into it.
Before, we actually do need a title, and we put out a call last week for some more, and we got some really good suggestions. To recap, these are the best of what we have so far, and we're going to put these up against Mark's, and we'll pick a winner today. So going back over what we had last week, we had in and around the panel, Utter Slitter, The Amateur Whistlers, Terrace Chat, which is a fairly flagrant attempt at plagiarizing Terrace Talk.
Stand Chat.
My favourite was from Sean McGoy, who gave us a series of different ways of abusing former Boz.EGA employees, which we can't use, but they're very welcome to Boz Showers.
If I win, in all seriousness, even if I win this competition for name of the podcast, and give him a goodie bag to Sean McGoy.
That may or may not include O'Neill's football.
I'm fully on board with that. It's about time that you gave us this name so we could see.
What names have you here?
They were the best.
That's
them.
Small.
Well, that's the best. That's my selection. My selections are the best, really.
Great, lads.
Yeah.
I have one that works in every level. It works in terms of that it's a GA pun. It works because it's short and snappy. And it works because it kind of describes what this situation is here.
Okay.
The three-man weave.
No, I'm all on board.
See, I told you. Morris was going to love it and Mick was going to hate it. I said it in the office earlier on. The three-man weave is perfect.
I think
we're
it's brilliant.
We're weaving in and out conversation-wise. The three-man weave is the staple GAA
Gaelic football trading.
Yeah, the Gaelic football trading.
Yeah, never mind the other half of the GAA.
Do you do three-man weaves in hurling as well? No, I can't.
Nobody knows because there's no tactics in hurling.
Sure, you don't do the tactic. Weaves aren't tactics. It's just a training drill. It's like the whole joke of the three-man weave is that it doesn't apply to a match situation in any way.
Doesn't lock in any of us. Like, we could all be easily replaced at the
weaved in and out.
You're on board. So we had Balls EGA talk as well, which is what, like, essentially what this is. This podcast has a
Balls EGA talk.
Yeah, but I'm much more on board with three-man weave. I think we're going with three-man weave.
I kind of like breaking balls.
We told you can't do that one because there's no sponsor's going to want to get on board with. You want to sponsor a breaking ball show.
And also, it would leave us like, when people are going through the podcast charts, you can only imagine the type of people that would attract. So The three-man weave is good. I'm on board with that.
Three-man weave could also attract a few rare fucking...
Jeez, we'll be putting explicit on this one. I'll tell you my opposition to it, though. It's that it's just another... It's a modern term for an ancient game, in an ancient game. And I think we should go back to just kicking it long into the full forward and, you know... winning matches 11 points to 9.
Yeah, but we're taking,
what's wrong with that?
We're taking the piss out of the three-man weave.
If we use the example of GA nicknames, so like the GA nickname, it becomes the staple of the podcast. Like oftentimes it doesn't actually reflect what they are. They become it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So okay. Like somebody like Shawnee Jelly Johnston, he became that. Even Gooch, like it kind of means nothing, but he took it on.
Well, we know what Gooch means, but now preeminent... thing you think about when you think of Gooch is actually Colin Cooper.
Yeah.
Thankfully,
yeah. And like Eugene Nudie Hughes, stripping in public or anything like that. It wasn't that he had any issues with
it. But we didn't mention that the greatest name and the person who should also win the hamper if it isn't the same person who came up with the Nudie News.
Oh yeah.
As the name for a podcast, which I still think Mark's idea of making in a segment every week.
Yeah.
If we could find a bit of news about Nudie
Hughes. There's a man who'd love a three-man weave.
Three-man weave is fine. I'll accept that.
Yes.
We'll put it to a vote on the floor, though. We've other people to consider, or do we need to decide now?
I think we decide now.
I think this is a dictatorship.
No one else is listening to us, sure. Do you think the people out in that office care? They don't even know we're doing this.
Or Shane K. Corn.
Shane K. Corn. I don't know what we call
the name of the podcast.
I don't think we can call the podcast.
Hello,
welcome to the Shane K. Corn show.
But he became symbolic with the nickname, not the other way around.
That's the name of his book, isn't it?
Anto Blue Panther 02.
Blue.
You're going back to your GA or porn star.
I have another list of GA. The GA porn star thing is a different one because they're nicknames. Or sorry, they're actual names. So I have it here.
But they feature similar tones. Like Gooch Cooper wasn't on that as well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, look, I've done this list before of 18 GA players who sound like porn stars. And I've got video. I've got some of them have actually movie names, like Babs Keating in A Long Night in Tipperary. Blue Panther 2, sorry, was in it. Sounds like someone who could tempt you with just one look, but it's actually a Dublin player with the stamina to keep going for a decade and a half to win four All-Irelands. Who else have we got here? Desimone. You don't really think it's a porn name until you think about it. And then it's like a porn star who's very innuendo-driven in order to hide her lack of acting skills. It is actually a tireless quarterback who could go all day and all night. Mickey Burke sounds like a phenomenon of the early 2000s who is a bundle of energy and is actually a phenomenon of Longwood who is a bundle of energy. Nicky English is really a porn star name.
I don't agree with this. It's just anyone who could have a...
Nicky English sounds like a porn director or a production star.
But it's like Nicky, N-I-K-K-I, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Jaff Allen.
Yeah,
Dominatrix, whose full name is Jasmine.
Jasmine Fallon.
Chaff is Patrick. Again. Is the token redhead.
Right.
That's just token redhead.
Yeah.
Tony Rainbow is definitely a male porn star.
He sounds like a WWE star.
I've never heard Anthony Rainbow being referred to as Tony, though.
I know, but I had to change this for the purposes of the article. Ogie Moran, Star Donaghy. Charlie Redmond sounds like a 1980s porn star.
Male or female.
And is actually a 1980s star. Fingers O'Connell, of course. A magician in the bed with all the swagger of 1-2. And is actually a magician at wing forward for Clare with all the swagger of 1-2. And then, of course, there are a couple here that you know, I don't want to sully the historic name of someone, but Christy Ring probably has the biggest porn star name of all time.
I don't. Every comment I have is inappropriate, so I'm just gonna
let's move on.
I think,
two games that I wanted to talk about briefly. I know that they're a while back now, but the Kerry Mayo game, Kerry Dublin game, and the Mayo Cavan game. I've decided that this podcast we're not going to talk about negative games, so I don't even want to bring up Galway. I rang my father on Monday to ask him about Galway, and he said the first half was so bad that he stopped watching and went into the new GAA archive to watch the 1997 Kerry Galway final. So his takeaway from the Galway Monaghan game on Sunday was, isn't Morris Fitzgerald a lovely footballer?
The 2000 final?
No, it was the 97,
That was Mayo and Kerry.
So maybe it was 2000.
2000, I'd say. I think he went to a replay. I think he Kerry might, yeah. Galway's best team,
did
I would say.
Galway play Kerry in the 98 semi-final?
No.
I also don't think that's...
Kildare bet them in 98 semi-final. Kerry, that is. We're going down a blind alley here. That archive thing is bloody deadly, though. I can't wait to get lost in it someday.
It's amazing, yeah. It also, I think it goes to serve as a reminder to, if you're looking at that Kerry game, the imbalances within certain teams, we bring this up a lot on this podcast as well. Some of those games were awful, but they were kind of gloriously awful. There's a romance about the fact that they were that way, whereas now that's no longer there. It's just
awful.
Yeah. And it's with polar extremes though. To talk about the Kerry Dublin game for a second, the game, I think there's two main takeaways from that. One is that Gaelic football can still be amazing. And then the other one, which is my takeaway, which is different to everybody else's takeaway, is Dublin were pretty poor for that game. They're not long back training. They're pretty much, they're way off Kerry, and they only lost by a point. It's so, so hard to beat this team.
Yeah. Mm. I only saw, because I was coming home when I only got in for the last 10 minutes of it, I'd say. Actually, I was in for the second half, but I was listening to Cavan game, actually, and then kind of got tucked into the Dublin-Kerry game, and the bit I actually saw, with Dublin were class. Because I saw from when they went down to 14 men, and they just dominated it. Then Kerry got that point at the end to win it, but it looked like Dublin were about to win it.
To come back,
and
yeah.
I was like, geez, this is some performance to come back from that with 14 men.
Yeah, just, I saw Joe Roddy describing it as the best game in the world, actually, which was, I nearly fell out of my seat when I heard it. I said, this is the way the game is played, it's still the best game in the world. I was like, Jesus Christ, that's a very far away from what Joe Roddy normally describes football as. There's also an element of that being a league game that was in a packed small stadium that was class atmosphere for it. You know what I mean? That there's something to be said for... that I think playing not filling Crow Park, not trying to put these games, obviously in Crow Park, Clarny in this case it would have been, but Dublin playing maybe in Parnell instead of Croker for the league games, or smaller venues. I was watching Limerick Tip to go back to hurling briefly in the Gaelic grounds, and I actually put out on Twitter that it was a small crowd there, and they were saying it wasn't, the other stand was full and there was 9,000, 10,000 there, which was not bad for a freezing cold winter's night, but it just looked less important because you're playing in this massive 50,000 seater stadium. I think the league matches feel bigger and feel like a much more exciting event than a Saturday night in this kind of, there's 15,000 maybe there and it's packed in.
Which serves as a reminder as to why this argument that you put Dublin in Crow Park because everybody wants to see them is total nonsense. If it's sold out, it's sold out. It's the same as any person else. There's a lot of people would love to go see Man United every single week, but they sell out, and that's just the way it is. There's no,
you can't upgrade your venue every time there's too much demand for a game.
You certainly don't sacrifice the fairness of a competition for that. That's a much more serious topic than this podcast is time to dictate to. Kevin, Mark. Moving on to the Mayo game quickly. These games are too kind of interlinked because I actually think that there's a new wave of way to play Gaelic football now. This thing about playing against Dublin, they're exposed to fullbacks, you just let it in long. I kind of don't buy that. If you don't have a huge amount of numbers there, the probability is that the ball is going to break, and if there's no one around to collect it, you're probably better off. But I do think what Mayo did against Cavan and what Kerry did against Dublin is it, which is this thing about actually trying to press the ball up in the second half of the field. And I don't mean that by getting everyone back and then pressing on. I mean from forwards and backs, kind of like the Tyrone team that bet Kerry into 05, this descending on players and trying to kind of shepherd them out, and even if you force them back to a player like Comerford. But I think that kind of, that pressure, that's where the game is going now. That's I know there's certain teams that use a call 44, and that the reason they do that is they're calling a 44 if you're at games is because the whole team is supposed to retreat to that line, the 44 yard line, and then they'll set up their defensive line there. Whereas Kerry or even Mayo against Cavan seem to do the opposite. They seem to apply pressure straight away.
Yeah, and Cavan do the same to an extent as well. And there's also much more goes into it because I think you'll see where lads are actually they're nearly directing the ball to a certain area of the field. So it's get it, we want them to pass to this cornerback because the minute it goes to this cornerback, there are three lads ready to get onto him and pressure him and win a turnover. So they're almost trying to predict what the opposition's going to do rather than just letting them kind of aimlessly out or running around. One of the things is that can happen with that is you're just a corner forward who's running around a headless chicken from man to man trying to get the ball at everyone, but they seem to be more focused on, let's funnel the ball to this corner of the pitch, and then we're going to turn them over exactly there, and then you've got someone else coming in. The other interesting thing that Mayo were doing, what seemed to be doing, was first of all, actually, because I wanted, don't want to take credit for seeing this, I was listening to the game. Shawnee Johnson was on co-commentary for Northern Sound, and he is brilliant. He's like, he's exactly what you need. Finally, it was like someone is doing a co-commentary job the way you'd want them to do it. Within 10 seconds of the throw-up, he was explaining all the different matchups. He was like, you know, Darren McVitie's going on to Aidan O'Shea, Killian Clark's after going to wing back. So you knew what was going on. Every time, which seemed to be a lot in the first half, that Cavan switched somebody else onto Andy Moore, he was straight away on the buzzer. And then he was like explaining, like, such and such lad is gone. If they give it to him now, you can see what they're trying to do there. But it was explaining what was going on to the game. And if this was on television as well, it'd be great, because they never seem to do it on TV.
Yeah.
But and one of the things he noticed was that Mayo were actually looking, when they were attacking and the ball was slowed up, they were looking to bring it back out across the 45 so they could then kick it in for a mark. So they were purposely going back out so they could kick it back in, which was something that, like, if the mark is going to come in the long
run, it's a tactic for it, yeah.
It's a different tactic, especially when you've got someone like Andy Moran in there that can, who's probably, I think, the player is going to benefit really the most in Ireland from the mark.
Do you know, actually, that's one thing that really annoys me about match reports as well, is if they don't specialise, like, how a team sets up or who's playing with the win. Something as basic as that. If you're watching a half-time, the score is 9-1, it's like, but there's no mention of who's playing with a breeze. It drives me mad because it doesn't represent the game at all. I was in at Armagh Meath on Sunday, and Meath had an unbelievable, like, a gale force breeze with them in the first half. So they ended up, like, streaming up to a 9-point lead, and then we're back with a point. But then after the game, I was reading it, and it looked like that was the ebb and flow of the game when I read, I can't remember what report it was, but there was no sense that, oh no, the wind actually had a major factor, which is a problem with, I know we said we wouldn't talk about it, with Galway. Like, Galway didn't even try and use, they scored 4 points with a wind against Monaghan. Like, I know they won the game, but the fact that you can't incorporate that breeze into your game plan just makes no sense.
It's like the first thing, like, nearly, if you're doing club match reports, whatever, it's nearly mind-numbing in terms of, you just, every match report, Eugene McGee used to write match reports before the game started, because it's like, you know, it was a fine Saturday evening when Conor Finn welcomed Guido Orr to the All-Ireland semi-final, playing with the aid of a strong breeze in the first half, Conor Finn did whatever. It's just like, it's always the second sentence is, X was playing with the aid of a strong breeze.
Yeah.
I don't know why they can't put, like, why then people are going, nah, it's not
relevant.
Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, doesn't sound wordy enough to put in.
Can I go back briefly to Mayo? Is, like, you're obviously talking about their cabin performance. I saw them against Throne. Is it too early to start talking about in the league, like, obviously, to talk about Kerry and Mayo, you're almost taking Dublin out of it, like, that both of those are ready to kind of reboot from a shite from 2018, Kerry, basically, you know? It's too early for Kerry.
Yeah, but not necessarily for Mayo.
But I think because Mayo aren't as young a team. They're almost coming back for one more go. Horan's back. I just thought some of their football against Tyrone, having not really seen the Cavan game, but as you were saying, Andy Moran again sounded like he was just a pain in the arse to play against, and everyone's switching on him. As you said, the only team who are probably really taking advantage of this mark rule, that's not going to be in the championship. But even still, it just shows how far ahead
the level of thinking,
some of
their
coaching is, and you know, from some other teams, if not all other teams. I just wonder, and if Andy Moran is in the kind of form that was Footballer of the Year 2 years ago, he's almost someone you're looking at and thinking, well, sure, look, he won't be back at that level again. They have to replace him as well as bringing on everybody else. But, you know, Mayo are definitely going to be a real factor this year, you know, and if they, like, it's almost like you almost expect that they can't get by Galway for whatever reason, because they're like the wrong team to play against them or whatever. But, you know, is it too much to have to go through the qualifiers now with Super 8s and everything else? Like, you know,
I think that they're, as a team, they're probably ideally set up to challenge a team like Dublin as opposed to like a Galway. Like,
yeah.
I actually think Galway,
that's what I think too.
Like,
yeah,
Galway are nearly a team that drag teams down to their level. Do you know what I mean? Which is kind of a sad thing to say. Like, talking about Kerry, I actually think Kerry are well placed as well to challenge Dublin, and I think Galway are too, in terms of what I mean by say that is the sheer players at their disposal, just how they're being used is, like, in one sense pretty incorrect, whereas Kerry and Mayo seem to have a better grasp of that. There's also just the, like, the fundamental thing of, are you reading too much into a league performance anyway?
But that's, I think, what you'd always think. So you almost want to see overall pictures. Like, watch them against Dublin now next week, and it's almost not that game you think about, because you're almost thinking that's something that they might even say we're not that interested in. It might be the following week, and if it's their other six matches outside of Dublin, if Mayo can put together a body of work like they have in the last 2 or 3 weeks, like, you know.
The other thing is, if you go through the league games played so far, like Mayo have been brilliant in all three games, right? Mm. To see the Roscommon game was tough to be brilliant in.
Yeah.
But like the next two that were great. Kerry, like Cavan should have beaten Kerry really, and should have beaten Galway. So there's the perfect example because they played all three.
Yeah.
And Mayo were a better team.
I think Dublin could beat Mayo easily in a couple of weeks. I just feel like that. I think James Horan might actually just say, I'm not interested in this.
But it sets up a scenario where you're looking at two complete polar opposites come the Super 8. Like, you've got four teams who you've got like genuine cause to be excited in terms of Kerry, Mayo, Dublin, and then I think Donegal, what they're doing this year, especially once they get McNeilish, McBurty and Murphy back into the team that they have now. And then on the other side, you've got Galway, who seems to have regressed further from they were last year. Tyrone, Monaghan all seem to be like wedded to their system that they have. So it sets up a, like, for example, Kerry, Mayo or Kerry, Galway would all be great games. But I think if Kerry played... Kerry Mayo could be a great game, but Kerry Galway will bring them down to their level like they did last year, and that could end up being a terrible game. Like, you've got four teams you would love to see play against each other, but if they meet anyone from the other side, it starts to descend back to
what the hell is going on with Tyrone? They seem to be falling apart.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like for a team that were progressing year on year, that, like, you know, we were thinking, geez, next year, this year now, come on, they could be placed to actually beat Dublin.
I reckon I would say that's probably the victim of reading too much into the league form. I like,
but Tyrone go out to win, like, Jesus, if there was a throwing of a stone around the crossroads, Mickey Hart would get out to win it. It's not,
how many times have they won the McKenna Cup? It's just in their nature, isn't it?
He goes to win everything, so it's not like they're holding back or not.
They might be, he might be just looking at it. Is a longer season now, those feckin' Super 8s at those few games they do though, and it's like, you're kind of mad if you're taking the league too seriously if you're Division 1. I think if you're Division 3, Division 4, whatever, that's what you have to do. But I also think it's unfair to lump Monaghan in with Tyrone. I know what you're saying in terms of the style of play, but one thing that Monaghan are doing is really just testing their strength and depth a little bit and giving a few lads a chance and keeping some of their big guns in reserve. And I think that that will benefit them so much, because that's a team that's been together a long time. And they need to kind of just keep that ticking over and make sure that they've got 25 lads who can play in the championship.
And I guess they're one of the teams that maybe are right. I think they kind of got probably dragged down to their certain level by Fermanagh last year, and then again by Tyrone in the semi-final. I think they probably have that capability to open up and play like the Kildare game last year, for example.
Yeah, great running football.
Right, great stuff. Next up, we'll hear from Clare hurler Peter Duggan.
It's one thing that's been a big flaw in Clare's game over the last few years is consistency. We've very, very much struggled to perform for a full 70 minutes in nearly any game, and it's all about trying to find, if we can get that once, maybe at the start of the year, and trying to build that for the whole way up along for the rest of the year. Look, it's a lot easier said than done. It's just matter, just have to see what happens on the field, because we can do as much as we can in training. It's just about getting out of each of our players and trying to build that mental mentality that we can play for the 70 minutes, because we know we can play in dribs and drabs. Just getting out of each and every one of us. It's the target isn't to get in Ireland, the target is to get a performance every day, and whatever happens after that happens. Ideally, what I'd love is a Munster title, and we've been looking, the last 2 years we've got into Munster final and we just can't get over the line. And really, it's a lot easier said than done. Every team that's training away now is training for an Ireland, but the main thing is you have to try and nail down a performance, and that's it. And that's what every team is aiming for in the league now this year. The way that the league is structured this year, that there's no relegation, it's all about your performances really. And the further you go in the league, the more benefit it's going to be for everyone, that you'll be hurling closer to the championship and so on. So that's the main ambition is, it's just get a performance out of, and not even the full team, just start getting performance out of players and build it up along. And then when you're coming to the championship, build in performances throughout the team, all 15, and just try and get it going for the whole year. But like I said, it's a lot easier said than done, and these things don't generally flow the way that you want them to, so it's just trying to change that.
How do you develop that level of consistency off the pitch? Like, well, what can you do in training to help develop that?
It's hard to know. Like, it's not even in training. You can do it in training, you can do it in matches, but it's a lot easier in matches. But it's about being in that losing position or in that winning position even, and being able to, if you're up by 3 points, being able to say be able to drive on from that position and win by 7 or 8 points or so on and so forth, and then building that momentum and having that in the back of your head that you know that you have the mantra, you have the ability to actually finish out that result, instead of going in and if you're winning by 3 points in the 9 minutes of a game and thinking, oh, should I sit back and relax and having the idea to stay driving forward. And look, it's a lot easier said than done, and we might work on it for the next 10 years and it mightn't work out, but it's trying to do something different and change the whole mind frame. And there's so many other teams out there that have the same thing, that just trying to get over the line, trying to get that consistency. And I think Dublin are probably the only team over the last 8 years, 9 years that have been able to get that consistency in games and be able to play it the whole way throughout. And the only thing you can do is try and stay working on it, and if it happens, it happens, and if not, back to the drawing board again.
Would you work with a sports psychologist in trying to change that mentality?
We have had, on occasions, we've had one in, but we don't actually have one, like, fully. So, like, we'd be working on every team out there. It's the same, they all have the same resources, and you just... It's not even about who's there. It could be anyone. It could be the manager that's talking to you. Like, it's about buying into the whole mind frame of it. It's like you have your sports psychologist, but you all know what you have to do in the end of the day. Like, you have to be able to buy into the fact that you need to do whatever you can do to change the mind frame of not being consistent, really. Last year, like, I got asked a few things from kids in the club, like, and it's just them little things that you kind of love, and you're like, oh yeah, that's cool. Like, I would have loved that when I was younger. Like, if Fergal Lynch was my club man back in the day, like, and if Fergal asked me to do something, or if I asked Fergal to do something, he did it for me, I'd be like, oh, this is the best thing ever. And then, like, I've had that from kids in the club, like, even from signing a slitter, like, something as small as that, and you can see the expression on their face, so that it makes everything so much easier. Like, you want to... Like, you find it going down training sessions, because you know by going training sessions you're improving, and you get through them. Like, you find some way to enjoy them, even though, like, you know yourself when you're out running and you're doing hard work, there's some parts of it that aren't enjoyable, but you have to find the parts that really are and the reason why you do it.
Well, where did the interest in landscaping come from?
Just seeing the finished product. It's like off a job. I like anything to do with it, but, like, I worked a few years now with maintenance for the county board and doing the fields for the Clare GAA, like Cusick Park and out in the Centre of Excellence out in Tulla, and thoroughly enjoyed it. And I've done different days here and there with other people and contractors and stuff like that, so I just found it up for it. It's just, I like being able to see when you go into a job and you see a lawn that has absolutely weeds growing everywhere, moss everywhere, and you see it when you first go in, and you see it when you leave the job, and you see a job accomplished, same way as if you go into a game and you end up coming out winning. Like, it's just a nice sense of feeling, and I wouldn't get that same sense of feeling when I complete a profit and loss account.
When you were working in Cusick Park, did you ever just bring in Hurley and take a few frees?
Oh, every day. Yeah. That's half the reason I worked there. Yeah, no, I most days, oh, you'd have the Hurley inside. I actually had a Hurley left inside there. And I used to love finding a few sitters after training. When I'd be training inside Cusick Park, I'd pick up 3 or 4 brand new ones and I'd launch them fair high. You wouldn't be seen, I'd click to the next day.
Did you enjoy the winter as an All-Star?
I did, in fairness, no, yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, there was lots of different things, like, between the club and stuff like that, and we have a great underage at our club, and you can see, I got asked to do a good few medal presentations and little things like that, like, it's nice to be recognised, but then at the same time, like, if you remember, like, the way I was kind of saying is, the second that January 1st came, like, is... that's forgotten about. Like, the main objective is to try and get another one, and even though that's going to be very, very hard, but like that'd be kind of ambition that I'd be aiming for. And look, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's the main thing would be I'd love if we won another Ireland or another Munster with Clare. And personally, I was delighted to get that an Ulster, and it's a great momentum to have. But at the same time, like, it is a team sport, and that's the main thing, is winning with your team. And the individual awards are great to look back on when you finish your hurling career, but while you're still playing it, they're fairly forgotten about. Like, and I won't think back in that Ulster until when I'm finishing a retired hurling, being realistic.
You did talk last year about having nearly quit the previous winter.
I didn't know.
Yeah. That must have made it particularly sweet.
Yeah, it did. It did. The day after the All-Stars, we went into one of our players that's on the Clare team with me, Ryan Taylor. They've a pub inside Innes, and the whole of Clooney came in. Like, there must have been, I'd say there was about 250 people came in to congratulate me inside, and it was little things like that. Like, that I was just smiled inside, and as happy as Larry. I was absolutely wrecked from the night before. I think I was home at 10:30 that night. I was put home, and like, if you'd seen just the smiles, and it wasn't even just me, like mum and dad inside and everything. That's what makes it so much easier to go back and aim to do them little things again, or to get like imagine how happy that was for 250 people coming in to see me after knowing me my whole life. Imagine the whole of Clare being able to see you after you win our Ireland or after you win a Munster. So that's the things that'll drive you on. Like,
a case of daylight robbery. Disgrace. Oh, this shouldn't happen. That is disgraceful.
This is outrageous.
That is disgraceful. Disgraceful.
Disgraceful. This is all wrong. This is all wrong.
Oh, this shouldn't happen. That is disgraceful. Disgraceful.
Good stuff. Peter Duggan was speaking at the launch of the High Performance Sportswear Body Bros 2019 GAA range. Mick, you a big Duggan fan?
Some good stuff. Do you know what? I wasn't always. I have to say, there was times when Peter Duggan was kind of pushing into the Clare team, and I wouldn't have known too much about him. And you're kind of watching Clare, like, kind of post All-Ireland 2013, and a few matches, and you're going, like, God, there's a guy in there for the puck outs. Like, it's, like, really not where we need
catering
to be
that, yeah,
as a team, you know? And I watched then the Clare County semi-final, strangely, 2 years ago. And Clooney Quinn won it. It was, they got to their first final in 50, 60 years or whatever. And he was just nailing frees. But the confidence that he became from hitting frees all over the pitch, he became a different hurler in the Open as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously came and had a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant season. And I was literally sitting directly above him as he got that amazing point against Tip in Thurles, the kind of sealer in the championship last year. And he was just so good at times. He did make the odd mistake, but he did some magical things, and he deserved his All-Star. And he was like, he's just a class player for Clare to have in their forward line. And he still offers that threat and the aerial threat as well as the other stuff. So yeah, it's class. But just what I didn't really know too much about him was how interesting a guy he is and how enthusiastic. And isn't it brilliant to hear a GAA interview from someone that's just happy, positive, happy, that not doesn't feel like it's a total pain in the arse, isn't afraid of every word he's saying being taken up the wrong way, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's actually like one of the themes of this kind of podcast in the year, like dealing with people like the Carlo hurlers that we've dealt with recently, for example, or even Claire, like that kind of happy-go-lucky attitude. It's nice to see that actually getting them somewhere, you know, like that it's it doesn't have to be as tense and kept strict as we're led to believe.
Yeah. And there's lots of stuff in there as well, like talking about work, you know, and obviously he's finishing college, but he does the grounds in Cusick, yeah, Park, yeah. And he's done it for years, sneaking the hurleys in to make sure he's just taking his freeze, you heard there. But like the other part of it that I don't think was in that bit that we played out, where he talks about, is it tough to be in, like, he's hoping to go into landscaping, he's done labouring, is it tough to do all that and go train? And he's like, you know, things are like that are hard, but you know what, like, if you're working all day and you want to go training at the end, the training is obviously is almost a relief from it, whereas you're sitting in your arse all day teaching like half of his teammates, as he talks about, you know, it's like they have to get energised and go up and to do the training, you know. So he's just looking at it differently than an awful lot of other people are, and he's kind of like, look, I want to work with my hands, I want to do it, sure, I have to you know, I have to live my life. A hurler should be allowed to do what they want. Just a brilliant attitude across the board, like, you know. And I wouldn't say anybody works harder than them either. You know, it's not as if it comes at the expense of anything else. Like,
yeah. Speaking of brilliant attitudes, there's a title on the line and I'm determined to win it back.
Oh, so yeah.
We're going to play Guess the Spreads, but I'm not going to referee it this week.
I won it last week
and you haven't had a chance to win
it. Not yet, no.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And this is a hurling weekend with a little bit of football dotted in. So this is our two hurling experts in the office going head to head.
Right.
So we're going to start, Peter Logan, to
not a gambling
there.
Expert.
We're going to start with Cork against Clare. And I'm going to start with, because it's the first time Ben guest spreads this week, I'm going to start with Morris.
See, it's hard to know who's even favourites in this game.
It is.
Because it's just that tight.
Why are you giving things away
for? No, I'm not. Because hard to know.
Cork have been poor in the league, but they're, as two teams, they're always really well matched.
Yeah,
I'm going to say that minus one, and I'm going to say the favourites are Clare.
I'll say that it's Cork minus one. I should go evens, actually. I'll say there's no spread.
No spread. No, it's Clare minus one.
Wow, all right, good. Yeah. That's interesting, right? Because Cork have lost both their games, but yeah. Clare beat Kilkenny at home. Clare have a brilliant record at Cusack Park. They're nigh on unbeatable there, but they were hammered in Thurles, like the tip, you know? So we don't really know where they are there. Peter Duggan spent the last half an hour talking about how they can get consistency and how they can, like, you know, what Clare need to be putting these performances together as individuals and collectively. And, you know, that's the most important thing for them at the moment. We don't know if they're there yet. Cork beaten two games, but Cork have Clare's number. Like, Clare beat them in the league last year, but again in Ennis. Cork beat them twice in the Munster Championship, and they've beaten them every time they've played in their big game since the 2013 All-Ireland.
So Cork plus one might be a decent...
I'm just saying, it's measure. In Páirc Uíochán as well, so like that's another thing that I think suits Cork rather than Páirc Uíochán, you know?
Also because we discussed bringing the rule back in last week, and I'm definitely bringing it in this week, and I'm the
I get 2 points here, doesn't he?
Yeah.
2 points to Morris. We're getting that spot on. And then Morris. We've got Galway against Dublin, Mick.
I'm hoping to go to this game. I'm in Galway this weekend, so I'm going to try and go to Pearse Stadium on the way home. Dublin have been pretty good so far, and Galway have been pretty poor. However, you can't see a spread of less than Galway minus three. I'd say Galway minus four, actually. Is that what I'm going for?
I'd say minus three, so...
Oh, Mick, you gave him the answer.
Is it Galway minus three? Well, I can only blame myself.
Another 2 points in Morris.
When I said Galway minus three, he looked at me like I was crazy.
No, I looked at you as that wasn't the same answer I was going
to
give.
Oh, I don't know. I have to learn the signs.
Stop looking at people. Just concentrate your own game, Mick. Moving down to Division 1B, Laois against Offaly, Morris.
This is a tough one. I talked to someone in the office about this yesterday saying, I can't check the bloody spread on this, but I'd be really interested to know.
On Laois and Offaly?
Yeah, but I'd be, you know, just so you know that I have a lot of honour.
Because Offaly have been poor. I'm going to say Laois are favourites.
I'm not doing anything.
I'm going to say Laois minus two.
Okay, I think Offaly are favourites, but I'm going to go Laois minus one. Laois have been way better than Offaly so far. I just think that when it comes down to it, ultimately Offaly have played Dublin and Waterford, you know.
So what are you going with?
I'm going with whatever one less is.
Laois minus one. Do you think Offaly are favourites?
I think Offaly are probably favourites, yeah.
Laois minus two.
Ah,
6-0 tomorrow.
Is it? Yeah. Do you know what, actually? I was hoping...
That's generous.
The reason I was talking about that yesterday is, without going into promoting gambling or anything like that, I was... wanted to check the odds because I thought you might get Laois plus two or plus three, and then I was going to back them.
Yeah.
To win, yeah.
But I don't... Unfortunately, that isn't the case, so I'm not taking them as favourites.
Waterford.
And what's this, 6-0?
Yeah. So you can't possibly win now. You can't even draw. You've only got two matches left. So the most you can get are four
points.
Can
Morris get all
Morris
five
could
spreads?
Get 10, which would be incredible. Waterford against Carlow, Mick, you to go first.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this will be huge. It's in Dungarvan, which I think will suit Carlow, because I don't think Waterford love playing there. I think there's lots of things going in Carlow's favour. Waterford will definitely take them lightly after a good start. However, I can't see it being less than minus 11. and that's what I'm going to go
think
for.
It is less. I was going to say minus 10.
It's minus 11.
Oh. Wow, I'm happy with that. That's a random, that's a big Nailed number it. To pick yeah. out of your hole, to be honest.
There should be an extra bonus point. I'm going to give you an extra bonus point.
Yes, up no, the tree.
How is that fair?
But he's going to lose that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
An extra, if it's over 10 and you pick it exactly, you yeah. get an extra bonus point.
Final one, Morris. A neighbouring club of yours, Corrifin, are playing Gweedore in the All-Ireland semi-final this weekend.
They're not that close to you, are they?
I meant neighbouring, no. the same county. they're neighbouring in relative terms. It's an Ireland semi-final. It's see, hardly...
Galway football is North Galway and Galway Hurling's East Galway and yeah, poor exactly. Al Morris is from West Galway where yeah. where they play both but they're shit at the two of them.
No, we're coming good at football.
What is it actually? Like, I couldn't get over going to the Cavan Galway game and Galway played Laois in the Hurling beforehand. The amount of people who left after the Galway Laois game, like a routine win for Galway.
Yeah, see,
why would you go to that and then leave for the match that's actually going to be competitive?
I think this might be something I hope to get something.
I don't
up
like
and
that.
Write something on site about this. I think there's a like growing dissatisfaction in Galway with their football team. Like I think there's a sense that it was funny the other day. I was talking to you about this on Monday, Mick. On Sunday night, Joe Bradley was like as critical as he normally is of Galway football, and they posted a meme about Thomas Mannion giving him a cleaning. And if you look through it on Facebook anyway, the vast majority of the comments are like, yeah, but he's right. Like, there's and this is a supporters club, like, this is the Tribesman GA, who's like, Galway GA aren't really active on social. So, this is, you know, in lieu of their main wing. And there's a, like, I think there's a growing sense. I think it started with the Monaghan game in the Super Race last year and carried into the Dublin game. Galway presence that game was poor. I think there's a genuine sense of kind of like you have to understand Galway, the amount of like I don't think it's as perceivable from outside the county. The amount of unbelievable like I'm talking about potentially legendary young players who developed over the last kind of 5 years, like Michael Daly, John Daly, who started going back the other day, Anthony O'Leary from Spittle, likes of Eamon Brannigan, all these young guys who came through the under-21 system. And now the production of that is nowhere near the same level of excitement because of the side of football they're playing. Like, I genuinely think it's just down to that there's a real sense of, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I couldn't get over it. Like, it was like... Has the second match been called off?
Yeah.
What's the story?
I'd actually be interested to hear what other people think of this, if anybody wants to message
for
in.
For sure, yeah. I'm wrong.
My guess would be, and I'm not necessarily saying it's right, but it's a little bit more understandable. Say you're from a county, you're a GA person, but you're a hurling person or you're a football person, right? Like, not always. Like, you wouldn't be Morris, but, you know, if you're from the area, you might be one or the other. And I think going to a league match on a Sunday afternoon, early in the league, is a kind of a big commitment to go and stay for a double header in the freezing cold, and I don't think people would do that in the championship. I think you'd go and you'd watch both and you'd support both, but at the same time it's like, doesn't matter to me really if they beat Cavan or not in the first round of the league. And I just wonder, is there an element of that
I'd
from an awful lot of people?
If it was like, if it had been like the like Galway had been playing Waterford or even Dublin or so, you know, like,
yeah,
but it was Laois, so like you were going to a game where it's like, this is going to be an easy win for Galway, we're not going to learn much from it.
You're just going because you support this team,
like,
though,
And it's like, geez, if you sat through that, then just stay on for a game that's going to be competitive.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point. I wouldn't kind of suggest that they're all kind of people who would like give up on, if the footballers were in a Connacht final, I think they, if they wouldn't go, they'd certainly support them. You know, I don't think there's as much a divide there that you kind of hate the footballers or anything, you know?
Oh no. Yeah. I wouldn't have said that anyway. No, but
I wasn't.
That exists though.
Why do you hate football, Morris?
That divide that you're talking about there, that it kind of reminds me sometimes of Tipperary. Like there's a real clear distinction between like Galway hurling folk and Galway football folk. Yeah. Like there's not a huge crossover anyway. This is all a really long way of me deciding what Corrifin, the spread is on Corrifin. I'm going to say Corrifin.
Where has this match been played?
It's on this weekend in Croker, isn't it? Corrifin are definitely favourites for this.
It's not in Croker.
Oh, no,
it's on
in Carrick and Shannon. It's the game where Liam Silk can't play because of this ridiculous Sigerson Cup clash once again that they've managed to cater for Kieran Malloy, who's also Corrifin, but he plays NUIG. So that game's going to be on Friday. But Saturday they've clashed games again for the second year in a row, to make that mistake to put the game down. So he's going to have to choose. He's given an interview. You can read about that up on site, actually. I'm going to say Corrifin -3. No, I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to say Corrifin -4.
Well, then I'll go Corrifin -3.
Morris, it's Corfin minus three.
Oh, no.
So Morris wins 6-5. But you were like,
what a comeback.
If you count that, like Mick got to say Waterford minus 11 ahead of you. If you had stuck with minus three, you would have gotten, every time you had allowed pick first, you would have gotten a spot on. And you also would have gotten one where Mick was allowed pick first spot on. But no, you messed it up.
Yeah, but I gave him one of my answers.
So it's Morris wins 6-5.
I gave you that one.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, I was actually going to say, well, I was going to say minus two. But anyway, there we go. So Corrifin are big favourites there. Who's actually, I know it's not part of the spread, but what's the spread on Mullin Nocta?
Oh, I think it's minus 15 or something. For.
Oh, no way is it that big. Is
15? I had heard that it was pretty big, actually, yeah.
I'll check it there now.
15 is ridiculous, though.
Do your whole housekeeping there, Morris.
Well, see, Crokes have, what they did to Milltown, they've absolutely destroyed teams. But the thing is, you can't, Mullin Nocta will obviously be a lot ahead of that level of performance. You know, you can't compare them to who Crokes have beaten now. Like, surely this is the biggest test they'll have, by the virtue of the competition. Surely this is the biggest test they've met so far.
There's a video going around that I think, it's not the greatest thing in the world. It's very kind of put together, but it's also worth seeing that the Mullin Nocta under 10s back in 1998. There's a guy, kind of the father of Mullin Nocta GAA, is from a place in North Kerry. I can't remember the name, but now, right? And he brought them down to play an under-10s challenge match against that club in Kerry. And it's like five or six of the lads that are currently on the team. And there's a clip at the end where the two managers are talking to the lads, and the guy in Kerry goes, "And no doubt you'll be back when you win the All-Ireland someday.
No,
and
way.
We'll be watching you." Yeah, and now they're playing a Kerry club in the All-Ireland semi-final.
That's class.
21 years later. So it's pretty crazy.
Couldn't have been any more wrong. It's Dr. Crokes minus 7. Someone in the office
said, definitely was higher. Yeah.
Yeah, someone in the office earlier on the week said, that's why I purposely didn't put it into the competition, because I definitely heard someone say it was minus 14 or 15.
Minus 7's more reasonable.
Yeah.
Because that's a, guaranteeing to win the game by 8 points is a big ask, Mullin Nocta, especially the way they played in the Leinster final, you wouldn't think they're going to concede too much.
Straight up, Dr. Crokes are 1-14, Mullin Nocta are 9-1.
1-14.
16-1 the draw.
Right, we're all for the Longford underdogs here, yeah?
Yeah.
We don't have as much Longford on the podcast as we used to, but.
No, look it. At least you've named the podcast today. That's what I'm happy about. The three man weave.
On that note, please rate or review the podcast. You can get in touch with any comments you have on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram at boz.ie, or email thegaffer at boz.ie. But for now, mind yourself.
Morris, you can't keep taking my line.